This is yet another one of Jesus' parables where I tend to struggle, if I'm honest, because I really wonder, what is Jesus trying to teach us here? That the kingdom of heaven is for those who have saved enough oil or saved enough, keeping all they can for themselves? That we're under no obligation to help those who don't have enough because they're foolish? I mean, I'm all about being prepared. I believe in having insurance and savings and planning for retirement. And Nancy and I are already thinking about Lent and Easter, and we're not even up to Advent yet. That's how well we plan. But this story does not seem to go along with other things I have learned about who God is, and especially things that are written in the very same Gospel of Matthew. Let's see how some of these line up with this parable. For example, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Then this parable apparently seems to add, although to get there you'll need large oil reserves. So don't forget the first part of what I said. Store up for yourselves oil on earth so that you will have treasure in heaven. Or, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Instead, according to this parable, worry about your oil. That's the main thing. Worry about whether you have enough for you and forget about everybody else. They're not your problem. Or what about, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. Unless, of course, you're late. And the bridegroom answers, in which case you might as well just forget it. Finally, in Matthew it says, in everything do unto others as you would have them do unto you. In everything, except that is oil, which apparently changes all the rules. See what I mean? It just seems that this parable is all about taking care of yourself rather than your neighbor. Or be prepared, have your oil, and don't give it away in case you might need it. So maybe the kingdom of heaven is really more like the principles of earth about than I care to admit. Have I been getting it wrong all this time? As with most parables, there's a lot that Jesus does not tell us in this parable. And we tend to then fill in the gaps with our own worldview when we go to interpret it. It doesn't tell us whether the foolish had any oil at home. You know, like, were they sitting on barrels of it, but just failed to bring any with them? Or that perhaps the wise ones were holding on to their last flask of oil. There was no more for them at home. We don't know that. We have no idea about the resources the bridesmaids had at their disposal. We only know what they did or did not bring with them. For the foolish bridesmaids, they hadn't had brought enough with them. You can have a huge storehouse of oil at home, but while waiting for the bridegroom, that storehouse will do you not one bit of good. So maybe this parable isn't about oil at all, or any material good you could buy or sell. What is this oil, then, that we need to be carrying with us if it's not really oil, or it's not really money, or it's not really food? What does it look like for us to be out of oil? Well, I can remember as a parent, I'm still a parent, but this was a while back, when I would come home from a long day at the church and see that my teenage sons had left dishes in the sink and pots on the stove. Suddenly, I became the creature from the Black Lagoon. Or as my sons would say, Hurricane Mom is hitting the shore. Should they have taken care of that kitchen? Absolutely. They knew the rules. They knew better. But was it worthy of a Category 5 hurricane? Probably not. But my oil had been all spent at church, and I had none left for them. Or the married couple whose only conversations have been about the logistics of soccer schedules and scout meetings, and pretty soon the relationship runs out of oil and things go dark there. They don't know how to interact with each other on any other level. Or like a toddler who doesn't get their nap, Without oil, we crash. And there is some oil that we can't give to anybody else. Students learn this. You can borrow someone's homework and get by on that assignment, but you cannot borrow their hours of studying when it comes time to take the test. We can't give someone a portion of our lifelong friendships. Like, here, have one of my friends. They're really good. Or give them the heart to help their neighbor. And then there are the one of these days ways of thinking. One of these days, I'm going to take a photography class. One of these days, I'm going to see the Eiffel Tower. One of these days, I will spend more time with my family. There are things that we can put off, but eventually, time will run out, and what we had hoped to do, there is no more time to do it. Not unlike those bridesmaids with their oil. And there we stand with not quite enough oil left in our lamp. And really, that's the hard part of this parable, knowing that at some point we will have to depend upon the oil we have with us. Not someone else's faith or another's peace or joy. We can't, those things we cannot take from them. At some point, we will need to state where we have seen God and how we have responded to that. Where we find God is where we can fill our flasks so that our light can continue to shine. So rather than having storehouses, it's more like filling stations, if you will. We go and we places where we can see God, and for that you can start by looking where the hungry and the poor are, or in the relationships that bring special meaning into your life. There are many places to find God. But that's also where you're going to find peace and joy and love and all those gifts of the Spirit that will fill our lamps. The truth is, though, no matter how much we do this, how good we are at it, from time to time our oil will run out. For we are limited human beings, and sometimes we just don't have enough Jesus in us to respond as he would. There is a story about two brothers and one piece of pie. And these are not my sons, because they would not have responded this way. But as they both debated about who was going to get that piece of pie, the mother came and said, well, Jesus would share the piece of pie so that he and someone else could enjoy it. Well, the brothers looked at each other and thought about that. Then one of them said, I'll let you be Jesus this time. And he took the pie and started eating. Well, how often do we let others be Jesus on our behalf? Simply because we don't have it in us to do or say the right thing. It's kind of like when people say, Pastor Kathy, if you'll pray for me, I know those prayers go straight to heaven. I don't know that I have a straight line, friends. And I don't know where you heard that, but it wasn't from my lips. In other words, I can't be your prayers. I certainly pray for you, but my prayers are no better than yours, believe me. Well, this parable isn't meant to scare us, although it does sound kind of scary at the end where I don't know you and he shuts the door. But it's not meant to scare us into thinking of how we should be prepared. Kind of like life insurance where the salesperson, they paint the worst case scenario so that you take out this enormous policy just in case. You don't keep the flask of oil with you out of fear of what might happen. Rather, you keep it with you because you so anticipate the arrival of the bridegroom that you want to be sure you're ready. You want to go into the banquet. You want to be part of the party. You don't want to miss out on that joyous occasion that is the kingdom of heaven. So it would seem that the idea isn't so much to stockpile the oil against the dreaded coming day. Rather, it's making regular stops to refill our flask so that we're always ready to be the light, always ready to welcome the Savior. You will fill your lamp with joyous anticipation, for that's really the price of oil, you know, joy.